this morning to the book of Daniel, chapter 9. And then we'll turn back to 1 Thessalonians. Just give you some quick numbers here. About page 1392 and about page 1837, roughly in your Bible this morning. Daniel chapter 9, and I'm going to begin at verse 20. And this morning's message is, "When is He Coming?" is the title. So last week we learned on how, and now we're going to look at when. And we're going to look at these verses. And we know that Daniel was a prophet of the Lord, and he spoke, and a magnificent life. And most of you know him by Daniel in the lion's den. And this is the same Daniel, but Daniel had a superior, excellent prayer life. And you're going to see that this morning. And you're going to learn about him. And he also is prophesying that there is a coming Messiah. And this set of verses is a little confusing. And so if you don't grasp it right away, that is totally fine. I had to read this when I was writing my message this week. I think I read it 6 times before I could get the gist of it. Because there's a lot of things that are going on here, different words. And I don't still have all the answers for it all. But we'll look at it together. And so then we'll flip back to 1 Thessalonians, which is written by Paul, and we'll look at that as well. So when is he coming? So keep that in mind as I read here this morning. Beginning at verse 20, entitled, "The 77s. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord, my God, for his holy hill. While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in an earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, 'Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision.'" And then here's the vision that Gabriel spoke to Daniel. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, and to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. Know and understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One, the ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the Anointed One will be put to death and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 seven. In the middle of the 7, he will put an end to the sacrifice and offering. And at the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. And then turn with me to the book of Thessalonians, chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, and we'll read through chapter 5, verse 11. Now, most of you are familiar with these first set of verses that I'll read out of chapter 4, believers who have died. Through our Revelation series, we've talked about this, so I won't spend a lot of time on this morning, but you'll get the gist of it as we read. There'll be more time spent in chapter 5. "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we read from your book today, your scripture, Lord, may you bring that word to life through this message and through that reading today, through your Holy Spirit. And I pray for those that have gathered here today that they receive and hear your message. Lord, may we learn to apply this to our lives and how we walk and live in this world. May you empower us with that Holy Spirit, and may that fall upon them this morning. And for those that are listening online as well, Lord, may they be blessed by this message. And Lord, may these be your words and never mine. Fill me with that same Spirit as I bring this message to your people. In Jesus I pray, amen. When is he coming? Good question, right? The most recent claim that Jesus would return was this past July 22, this past summer. That was the most recent claim that somebody put out there. In fact, I have a name for you. Chad and Lori Daybell were their names. A good Christian couple that had predicted that this is when Jesus would return. Now, I want you to think back with me. Numerous people have made the attempt to predict the second coming of Jesus Christ over the years. We've had several people try to predict this and think that they know when Jesus will return. There are many predictions I want to make you aware of. Between now and 2028, several people have made new claims that Jesus will return in the next 8 years. We've had many false advents. That's what I like to call them this morning. In our history, from both Jews that have tried to predict the return of Jesus and Christians that have also tried to predict the return of Jesus. But here's the reality. Scripture says the second coming of Christ will be a surprise. I want you to remember that this morning. Keep that in your mind as we go through this message and who you are as a Christian in Jesus Christ. Because the Bible also says that the day and the hour are completely unknown. Only the Father holds that answer and that information. Neither does Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand, or the angels in all of heaven know the hour or the time that Jesus will be sent forth to the earth. But when that day comes, like 1 Thessalonians says to us, Jesus will come like a thief in the night. And so we're going to look at that this morning. What does that actually mean? A thief in the night. Scripture also says that we are not to worry about the day that Christ will return, but we are to go about our lives, the things that God calls us to from day to day. We are not to be fascinated with this day or to put a lot of emphasis on this particular time in our lives. So I encourage you, don't waste your time trying to figure out when Jesus is coming. You and I are to carry on with our lives, but to always be ready for Christ's return at any time. That's my encouragement to you this morning. My advice to you this morning as you sit and as you listen to what's going on. So let's dive into the book of Daniel this morning. And if you have your Bible with you, I'd encourage you to stay on Daniel 9 as we're going to look at some key verses in there this morning. Most of them will be on the screen. But Daniel says the first advent promised the coming of the anointed one, right? When was the anointed one to come? And we know that the anointed one is Jesus Christ. Jesus was born roughly around 4 BC. Now, if you're wondering, well, what do you mean 4 BC? I thought he was born right on the deadline between BC and AD. And no, that's not necessarily the truth. About 4 BC is when he was born. And so that's kind of roughly when he was born. But Jesus entered into a world of exiles and refugees. The book of Daniel speaks of seven sevens and 62 sevens. The math terms are confusing. And so let me put it in simple terms for you to understand, and we'll dig a little deeper later into this message. So there are many different speculations out there, from theologians to all these different numbers that Daniel speaks of. And the simplest way for me to explain them to you that makes sense to you is that Daniel said that a promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, would come at a mysterious time of completion. That's what he's trying to say. Now, we'll talk about the math a little more further into this message, but that's the easiest way that I can explain that to you this morning. But Daniel predicted it, and we know that it was the birth of Christ, Christmas Day. Hence, we celebrate Christmas, the coming of a Messiah. That was then. Remember the then and now? Last week, we started this introduction to this message, and I showed you some pictures of then and now, and that was then. But there are some key verses that I want to bring out to you this morning in the book of Daniel. And so here's the first one. If you have your Bible open, you can follow along with me as I bring these out. And you might catch what I love about Scripture is, as you read through the verses, there are little words that just jump out at you, and they think, wow, I didn't know that, I didn't understand that, or that supports my beliefs of what I've been hearing being taught to me in my life. And so here's the first one in Daniel 9, verse 26. While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, now this is the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me, and here's the key word, in swift flight. Interesting, isn't it? About the time of the evening sacrifice. Often when people speak of angels, we think of angels with what on them? Wings, right? So there is scripture here that we see that this angel Gabriel came to Daniel in his prayer in swift flight, the Bible says. He suddenly appeared from nowhere. And so if you want to believe that angels have wings, that is totally fine. But do you think that they need to have wings to appear to Daniel? No, probably not. But the world that you and I live in today, we get this vision that angels have wings because they suddenly appear in Scripture. But that doesn't mean they necessarily have to have wings, but they could have. The Bible doesn't give us a whole lot more information on that. But it's an example of why we might think that. Why some people have angels and with wings on them and so on. So you decide for yourself where you want to be. But here's the point I want to share with you this morning. Angels are amongst us all the time, doing the work of God. You might not see them, you might not hear them, but you need to know that there's always spiritual warfare going on in your life and in the world that you and I live in. And we know that there's the other side of the picture as well. There's also demonic activity that goes along with that. So know that there are angels amongst us, right? I think there's even a song that talks about that. Correct? And so just know that that is possible. I wanted to bring that out to you this morning. Notice what the angel does in verse 22. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I've now come to give you insight and understanding. Daniel was a prophet, and he was to proclaim this insight to the people of God, bringing his message of this coming Messiah. In the Old Testament, God often spoke through angels to people, to his prophets. Sometimes he used the Spirit of God mentioned. Sometimes Jesus appeared in certain situations, and it was talked about as an angel of the Lord, is what Scripture talks about in Old Testament times. But here we see this angel come to Daniel and to give him understanding. Today, you and I have been given the Holy Spirit, in which does the same type of work for us in the world that you and I live in on a daily basis. But Daniel's in prayer, and God gives him insight and understanding through the angel Gabriel. And so here's a question I have for you this morning. When you and I don't understand something, if you and I don't totally, maybe we don't quite understand what's going on or what's happening in the situation that you find yourself in from day to day or week to week, whatever it is, what is the first thing that you should do to gain understanding and insight in your life? I heard it, what? Pray. Exactly. That's what Daniel did. He prayed. And the angel Gabriel came to him and said, Daniel, I will give you understanding. I will give you insight. Now today, we have the Holy Spirit that lives amongst us and in us if we're walking with Jesus Christ in our lives. And if we pray and we ask God for insight and understanding, he promises to give us that. Now, here's the key I want you to go away with. God's not going to tell you everything. He's not going to give you, good Lord, tell me what my life will look like a year from now. That's probably not going to happen. He'll give you enough for the situation that you find yourself in today. And then you get to pray again tomorrow for whatever that day looks like. And you know why I think that God doesn't give you all the insight and understanding of things that were going on? I don't know if you and I want to know that information. It might be too overwhelming for us to see maybe what's coming down the road. There could be hard, difficult things. There could be joyful things. What are blessings? And so we're just called to pray to God on a daily basis for understanding and insight. Now, there are some things that God chooses not to give you understanding or insight in. When a loved one dies, or a loved one is stricken with cancer, or whatever it might be, or passes away from COVID, and we might ask God, why? Why, God, did you allow that to happen in this person's life to affect our family, whatever it might be? You might not have that understanding on this side of heaven, but I will let you know that I'm almost for sure that when you and I go to heaven someday, that all those things that you didn't have understanding for, God will give you that understanding. You'll be able to look back as in a mirror, and you'll be able to see the things that God has done and why they had to occur the way they did. It makes no sense to you of some of the things that go on in the world that you and I live on today. But someday, they will. Someday, in that new heaven and new earth, they will make sense to you and I. So hold on to that promise this morning. Pray. So you learn that. You pray for understanding and insight. Now here's the great thing that I thought was so powerful. Sometimes we pray and we don't always hear, or we always don't think that God answers our prayer. Look what verse 23 says this morning. If you got it in your Bible, you can read it on the screen. As soon as you began to pray, Gabriel's talking to Daniel here, a word went out. Where do you think that word went out? Where did this happen? Here on earth or in heaven? The word went out in heaven. All of heaven was moved when Daniel prayed this prayer. I mean, that's amazing. Do you understand what the power that you hold and that you have? When you pray to God, you move all of heaven. The angels rally. The word went out. You know, the Father in heaven said, Gabriel, go to Daniel, give him insight, give him understanding, let the people know. That's good news. That's exciting, isn't it? And so when you think that your prayer falls on deaf ears, that nobody hears, nobody cares, that's simply a lie. That's what Satan likes to tell you. In fact, that's what he wants you to believe. Because there's so much power in prayer. And what's really amazing about this prayer is last week I think I mentioned to you that we're on God's timeline and he answers that prayer when he wants to. But here in Scripture, the moment that Daniel prayed, the word went out, God responded instantly. And he answered that prayer with understanding and insight. So what do you do if you find yourself in a situation that you don't understand or you need more insight? You do what? You pray to God the Father in heaven. And then you let him do his work. And you let him do his will. Not our will. Because we often want our will done, right, when we pray. We let him do his will. Sometimes that can be hard for us to understand or follow. But that's the message. It's a powerful set of verses here that I wanted to share with you this morning. Let me also draw you to verse 26. I don't have that on the screen here this morning, but I'm just going to read these numbers to you one more time. And I don't expect you to walk out of here and understand these, but I'm going to give you some reasoning behind these numbers that are spoken of. Daniel 9, verse 26. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one, which we know as Jesus Christ, will be put to death and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. The anointed one being put to death is Jesus Christ's death on the cross. It's his crucifixion. At the time of Jesus' death, there was a great earthquake, and the temple was destroyed. The curtain was torn in two. We all know that story, and we had full access to God, didn't we? But let me give you some interesting facts about the math spoken of here in Daniel 9. Some theologians, they've sat down, they've dissected the math, and they've come to some conclusions. Now, this isn't, I can sit up here and say, oh, this is how it's done, but these are theories, these are ideas I want to share with you, and they're not salvation issues. You can go home, and if you want to do the math, you can do that yourself. It'll take a little bit of research for you to do that, though. But here's one idea. The math calculates out to the time Jesus started his earthly ministry. Daniel's predicting when the birth of Christ would come and Jesus would begin his earthly ministry roughly at age 30. And he'd do ministry upon the earth for 2.5 to 3 years, and he went to the cross when he was about 33 years old. All those 77s and 62 sevens and so calculate out to the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. That is one theory, and hold on to that thought. Now, here is a second theory. The second theory is calculated out, and it is the date of his crucifixion to the day. Now, you think, well, how did you come up with these different theories? And so here is what they did. Some theologians used a lunar calendar. That's the calendar that you and I use. 12 months out of the year, 365 days out of the year, and they did the math according to Daniel, what he said. Other theologians used a Jewish calendar, and they come to the date of his crucifixion. Interesting. You just take that home, and you need something to think about this afternoon. Think about that for a while, about what Daniel laid out here. But we know that it points to a mysterious time of completion. And we hear about the birth of Jesus Christ. Likewise, in the book of Thessalonians, it speaks of a second advent. And there are images of violence and distress in this set of chapters that I read to you this morning. Some people in this world will try to promise you peace and safety and prosperity. But we know that the world that you and I live in is ravaged by Satan. Sin is present all the time. Hardships are present all the time. And so in the midst of this chaotic world that you and I live in, you need to know that the Messiah will return one day. He will come in the midst of all this that's going on. And although we don't know the day or the hour, it's not of our concern. Matthew 24, verse 36. I think I have that on the outline this morning, says this. But about the day or the hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven or the Son, but only the Father. That's what Scripture says. So you're going to hear all these predictions between now and 2028 of Christ is going to return, you know, you should get ready, da-da-da-da. They don't know anything. Their predictions, it could happen, but they don't know. They don't know any more than what you know. And so let me just leave you with a few other things that, as Christians, Thessalonians 5 verse 4 says this, "But you are not in darkness, brothers or sisters, for that day will not surprise you like a thief, because you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You will be prepared when he comes, because you are already waiting for him to return. Unless Jesus calls you upon this earth to heaven before that day. But you're made aware." And so when it says in Thessalonians, "He will come like a thief in the night," that will be for unbelievers. They'll be caught off guard. They'll be shocked that Christ returns. But for his church, those who believe in Jesus Christ, you will not be caught off guard. You will be prepared because you've heard the word of the Lord. You know it. You understand it. Now, we might be joyful. We might be overcome with just awe when he returns. We might just be full. I can just imagine that, you know, in the Bible, when God appeared or Jesus appeared on the scene or an angel was in his presence, often they fell where? On their face, prostrate, down, because of the awesome presence that they were in. I think that you and I might be in that same position someday when Christ returns. We'll be in awe. Now, I don't know if we're going to see that or not. We might all be in heaven before that day comes. But I think the people that get to see that will be in awe as believers. And the other believers, or excuse me, the unbelievers, they'll be the ones that will be caught off guard. And you can kind of see that in the world that you and I live in today. There are so many people that go about their lives, don't care about, you know, who the Creator was, don't even believe that there was a Creator, Jesus Christ and God the Father, that would be totally caught off guard. And so the Bible says that we are people of the day. We are people of the light. Meaning that you and I have understanding that Jesus will come one day and at any time. So here's your job. You and I are to be ready at all times for Christ's return. So what should that look like in your life as you live out there? Let me give you some ideas, some things for you to consider or to maybe work on. This doesn't mean that you live your life half-cocked and you go live how you want to. That's not what it means. In a negative way is what I'm talking about. It means that you live every day in a right relationship with God the Father and those around you. That can be hard to do some days, can't it? A right relationship. I mean, you act like the hands and feet of Jesus Christ as you live life. You live with a gracious heart. You live with a loving heart. You care about those around you. You live as a pleasurable person that people enjoy being around. Now, I don't expect you to live every day like that. You have your days, right? You have some days that are better than others. Anybody ever had a bad day here? Yeah. Anybody ever just, you're crabby as an old get out and you don't know why? Yeah, we have days like that, don't we? But as long as you return to those days is what the Bible teaches us. Do your best to live righteously with those around you. Ask for forgiveness. Live at peace with everyone if you can. And here's an important part. We as Christians, when we make a mess of our lives, our others' lives, it's our job, the Bible says, to clean that mess up. You go ask for forgiveness. You have that hard conversation with a mother or father or a neighbor or a brother or sister, and you make things right. And maybe they won't allow you to make things right, or maybe that brother or sister doesn't want to hear what you have to say because they're offended or they're. Then what you need to do is you need to make that right with the Lord. Ask God for forgiveness. And say, God, and pray for that person, that individual. God will forgive you for those things. I've had, over the years, I've had people come to me that they've been in a bad relationship with someone that they loved. It could have been a family member, a neighbor, and then that person dies. And they come to me and they say, I never had the chance to make it right. And it's killing me. What do I do? And often, this is what I tell them. Write a letter asking for forgiveness from them. Write it out. Because when you write that out, not only do you hear it and see it, but so does the Lord. Now, that person won't see it or hear it. That's gone. But it's a way that you can get right with God on that situation, and that's what you need to do. You can't make it right with that person anymore that you lived life with. But here's why it's so important for you that we live righteously with each other from day to day. Because you don't want to be in that situation if you don't have to. That's a tough situation to be in. And it's hard work, asking for forgiveness and trying to live righteously, but that's what God calls us to. And so sometimes you and I, we need to clean up our messes, and it can be difficult, but I want to encourage you to do that. And so let's finish up here this morning. Maybe you're figuring out that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that it can be hard work. I'm going to tell you, it sure is. It's not always easy to walk with Jesus and to be a believer in this world. But also, it contrasts with our predictable, comfortable Christmas rituals and holidays, doesn't it? We got this beautiful Christmas tree around us, this Advent candle. You have Christmas trees in your home. We always think it's a joyful time, but it might not be. Just remember that God's in the midst of all those things, and He continues to work for the goodness of your sake. Think of Daniel for a moment in that prayer. Remember this, you and I, we're not uninformed. Thessalonians talks about those loved ones who've gone on to be with the Lord and that are no longer with us, and that we have a different kind of hope than the rest of the world has. That's the hope of eternal life one day. That's the hope that we'll all be together in heaven one day through Jesus Christ. That's what we hang on to. And so you find yourself getting down this holiday season and you don't have a lot of joy to look forward to, look forward to Jesus Christ, the hope that we have. That's what I want you to look forward to. Daniel was then, we live in the now. Someday Christ will return and it will be joyful. Look forward to that with anticipation. And all of God's people said, Amen.